But right now, we're going to get to hear from a dear friend and brother of ours, someone who's been a part of our community for several years now, whose gifting, whose personality, whose just presence and friendship has really blessed me personally and has blessed many of you as well. And he has a word from God to share with us from his story and from God's word. So would you guys join me, please. I feel so unwelcome. Join me in welcoming up Thomas O.
Thank you. Before we begin, we're guaranteed we're going to church today. Before we begin, I grew up in Korea, and thank you, appreciate it. And we do things a little bit different around here, and I want to introduce that to our family today. Can I do that? Cool, awesome. And so as a preacher gets up to the stage, the people that are sitting are my brothers and sisters. The preacher asks to intercede for the pastor. I confess to you right now that I have faithfully prepared God's word tonight. And I ask you that I am of flesh. I am prone to wonder. And I will be tempted to be prideful and have you walk away from this service today more impressed by me than by God. And if I do that, I have failed my job. So can you pray for me? Can you reach out your hand and pray for your brother who's about to speak? You can do it. This is called Korean style. You can talk and pray for me if you like, but if you could just pray for me right now, just for a few seconds, that the Lord will speak through me, that every word that's coming out of my mouth will be from His and not mine, and that your hearts will be open, and your ears will be open, and your hearts will be open to hear and see and experience His word for you this morning. Pray for me. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've given us. Thank you so much for my brothers and sisters who are here to sit down and to hear my story, to hear your story that impacted my story. God, I pray, may you allow us to be transformed, like Pastor Taylor would say, that the information that we hear would turn into revelation, and the revelation that we take we're turning to application. That as we apply these things in our lives, that we will bring the process of transformation so that at the end of the day, there will be glorification, giving you all the glory and honor. I pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Let's go. If you guys can open up your Bible to Romans chapter 12, please do that. As my youth pastor would say, and he's not listening, but as he would say, if you have your Bible, say word. And everybody will say word. And as you're getting there, I want to share a story. There's a guy by the name, and he's a pretty famous guy. His name is Saint Augustine. If you don't know anything about Saint Augustine, he's an African. He's Nigerian. And there was a time in his life when he was talking to God and he said, God, I figured you out. I understand you fully. And as he was walking, there was a boy digging a hole next to a Nile River. If you don't know anything about the Nile River is the second longest and biggest river in the world. And this dude was digging hole. And so St. Augustine approached this boy and he said, boy, what you doing? And he said, I'm digging a hole big enough so that the entire Nile River will fit into my hole. St. Augustine, being a smart dude, laughed at him and said, dude, you know how big and wide the Nile River is? There's no way you're going to dig a big enough hole for the entire water to fill in. And this is when God spoke to him right then and there. He said, St. Augustine, that boy is you. You think you know me. You think you know the entirety of me. You think you know me? You think you figured me out? I am infinite, eternal, wide, so much bigger than you can ever imagine, that you have not understood me. And then from that powerful experience, Augustine started his ministry, and he was humbled, but he was reminded of God's glory in his kingdom. As you guys are sitting here today, I'll be sharing my own story. And this story is unique to my own. And you might be sitting here going, I figured God out. You might be sitting here going, I figured this world that God has created out. I figured it out. I don't need any more reminders. I know exactly what it is. Well, hey, be my guest. Like Augustine, I hope you understand that you have not known enough about God. That as you get to listen to my story, that you'll see the image of God, the power of God in my Asian American story. And for me to be here, I thank you for listening. So there's going to be a little bit more story in this sermon than usual, because as we know that we're talking about this series called Restoried, and I love to preach. And so we're going to get into the word. And so let's read Romans 12, 9 to 21. And God's word says this: let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. And rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. My brothers and sisters, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, my brothers, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all, if possible. So far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy, my brothers and sisters, is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I wonder why Paul started with this type of tone. He said, let love be genuine. And as I'm a question asker, and every time I'm reading scripture, I go, why didn't Paul just say, love somebody? Why didn't you just sit there and go, love them? What does it mean to have and exercise genuine love? Well, whenever I think of genuine love, I think of sacrificial love. A genuine love requires sacrifice. And every time I think of an earthly example of sacrifice, I think of my dad in his fist. In 2004, my family, we immigrated from Seoul, South Korea to Salisbury, Maryland. We decided to move to the United States of America, and we've been here ever since. The first job that my father had gotten was working at a chicken factory, cutting up chickens from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's all he did so that we, our family, can get our green card. He did it without any question. He probably maybe complained to his wife, but not to his kids. And if you look at him now, and if he were to show you his fist, he cannot close them completely because he now has arthritis. I think of sacrificial love in that way. And today, our topic is same color, different texture. I'm wearing all black here on stage. From your perspective, it's black on black. It's the same color. But if you come close to me, if you come near me, if you decide to talk to me, and if you dare, I would say, touch my clothes, you'll realize that the texture is different. Well, the same color of sacrificial love that my father has shown is very similar to Jesus. But the texture of sacrificial love that Jesus has given us is uncomparable to what my dad had done. My dad sacrificed for his family. Same color, Jesus sacrificed for the world. Different texture. Do you get what I'm saying here? Same color, different texture, and the same sacrifice that Jesus had made on the cross. The genuine love that Paul is talking about here is for you. It's for me. And so today we are going to talk about what it means to be as Christians, be of the same color, but of the different texture. When I was 8, I knew hello and sorry. First day of school, I'm nervous. Esau was very elementary school. Miss Adams holds my hands and walk into the classroom. And I go in, and just like this, actually, I see the first time in my life, kids with different hair colors, eye colors, skin colors. And I remember being up there going, whoa. And there are not a lot of Asians in Maryland, and so they're looking at me like, whoa. Same color in the fact that we're made in the image of God. Same color in the fact that Jesus had died for us, but different in texture, in ethnicity, backgrounds, and experience. If you're sitting here today going, bro, my color is the same color and your texture is the same texture as mine, you're not loving a brother or sister well. Can I get an amen? Amen. Same color, but different texture. And so I hold a different type of texture than some of you guys. Some of you guys might hear what I have to say and go, oh, I kind of feel that. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, as I talk, that you will let go of the cloth that you're feeling and listen to the cloth and the texture that I'm describing. Can you guys do that for me? Thank you. So let's talk about my pre-Jesus days. It's only been the first 12 years of my life. And so a lot of my story actually is going to be entailed more with after I was saved and the things that I have gone through. But let me explain to you the type of desires that I had as a 12-year-old. I realized that I wanted to be accepted and I wanted affirmation from people more than God. I grew up in the church. I went to church. It was something that we did every Sunday. There was a time on a Sunday morning and I was like, bro, I really don't want to go to church. So I said, Amma, that means mom. I said, can you come upstairs? And as she was coming up, I would be rubbing the blanket over my head until she gets there. She'll go, oh, please touch my forehead. And she'll feel it. I go, it's kind of hot, right? And she's like, oh my gosh, it is hot. Dress up. Let's go to church. Like, ah, it doesn't work. I grew up in the church. There were no excuses. I wanted to fit into the worthy definition of acceptance. I wanted to have comfort and security and power in what the world offered and not what Scripture offered. I didn't feel free. And I am a testament to you tonight. The past 12 years, I've been most free because of the promise that God gives me. And the Spirit that sets me free, that I'm no longer bounded in chain. I'm no longer walking consistently in sin without no type of repentance, but I see Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I knew that I was not fully seen, heard, and known by people. This is one of my favorite songs. It's by Joel Anset, and the song is called Known and Loved. And I love this. Anybody love music here? I'm sure it's all of you guys. It says this: you're in a place you think you know, surrounded by, but you feel alone. You have a place to rest your head, but not a home. Feels like you lost yourself again. Sit in the silence of a friend. When you are fully known and loved, you have a home. And it continues to say this: all of the things you keep concealed one day are bound to be revealed. We paint a picture of ourselves that isn't real. Feels like you lost yourself again. Sit in the silence of a friend. When you're fully known and loved, you have a home. The moment I accepted Jesus, I was fully known and loved. For the past 12 years, I've had a home. Not a home here on earth, but home in heaven. Because my citizenship, though I'm an American, my citizenship is in heaven. And my prayer, and I want you guys to join me in this prayer, Summit family, is that as we pray that let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, bro, Heaven's not going to be America. Heaven's going to be kingdom. Same color in the fact that we understand citizenship, same color in the fact that we understand culture, but different texture in who we belong to. I was searching for deeper love, deeper connection, and deeper purpose. And so I, one day, am in the middle of desert at a youth camp, and I was talking to a pastor of mine, and I said, man, I see people walking in freedom, singing these songs as if they really mean it. I really want to know who Jesus is. I'm in ministry right now. If my student ever comes up to me and says that, that'll be music to my ears. I'm like, oh my gosh, come dance with me. Let's do it. And I told my pastor, I said, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. What do I do? In verse 10, in verse 9, it says, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Abhor in Greek context means to be disgusted by. So disgusted by what is evil and hold on to what is good. When the world is trying to take you away, we are to cling onto what is good, Jesus and his promises. Because why? In this world, we will be tempted. We will suffer. We will go through tribulation. But I understood that I need to let go, abhor what is evil in my life, to hold fast to what is good, which was the gospel. So I went to my pastor, and I repented, and I accepted Jesus into my heart. Matthew 7, 24, 27 says this. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine, and here he goes, does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and the great was the fall of it. Same color in the fact that we as Christians and non-Christians deal with conflict. We are going to have rain. We are going to have floods. We are going to have winds. We are going to get beat up. Same color in tribulation, different texture in the fact that as Christians, we build our house on the rock, not on the sand. A black preacher in Birmingham, Alabama, put it this way. He said, imagine you're at a dock and you see a boat just tumbling around. A foolish man would tie his boat on the dock, which is on sand, but a wise man would tie his boat on land. Because why? The land does not move. Some of you guys are wrapping your boat on a dock, on a stormy day. So we begin to talk about the different color, but different texture in the way we face tribulation. And so as soon as I accepted Jesus, it changed my life, 180 degrees. I got a couple of high school friends here, shout out. And the moment I got saved, my life has changed. I left the friends that I knew that I no longer could be part of, and I was in a state of loneliness where at school I had nobody to go to. At home, my parents are working from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. At church, we were going through a split, so we didn't really have a youth pastor or teacher, so every direction I looked, I had nobody. I felt lonely, and that's when depression started for me, and 9 years later, I found out that mental illness runs in our family, that I actually had an aunt and an uncle that I didn't know about until I was 21 who ended their life due to mental illness, and I realized that, oh my gosh, this is not just a thing that just happens, but this is something that, oh my gosh, this is could be maybe genetic. And so my story has rain and some floods and the winds and get some beating. But my testament to you and the story that I'm going to share to you as I continue is that, man, what would it look like to build a house on the rock? So I struggled with loneliness, and that's when my first lie that I started believing in, which was, I'm a likable guy, but I'm not a lovable guy. People like me. I'm not really loved. And so over the years, my loneliness has gone because I developed friends. But this loneliness I still felt in the midst of my friendship was still real. I was like, yo, the solution is to get friends, be in community. I have that. Why do I still feel this way? It continued all throughout college and still to this day, as I'm talking to you, as of what? March 28th, I still deal with it. It is part of my story that is ongoing. But in college was when I realized that I was in ministry. I was majoring in ministry. And I had this deep insecurity that if I don't get this thing ready right, if I don't overcome depression and my anxiety right now, I cannot be in ministry. Because what I started believing in myself was that if I don't get my stuff together, how can I help other stuff? And so I started believing in this lie that maybe I'm not called to ministry. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And it got to a point where it came back from a mission trip in India. And there was a time in my life where I felt so miserable. And I tried to read my Bible. I couldn't focus. I tried to listen to worship songs. I wanted to be in silence. I tried to pray. I couldn't pray. And I attempted to end my life. And it was through God's grace that I'm here today. And so what I learned in that moment was that God is near, that He's sufficient, His grace is sufficient in my weakness. That despite what I have been going on in my life, I knew that it wasn't by my works, reading scripture, listening to worship songs, praying or whatever that will save me, not by works, but by faith that I put in God through His grace. It was a valuable reminder and a lesson that I've learned still to this day, that no matter how much I do work, it does not work. And so if you're out there believing that the moment you accept Jesus into your heart, that your life will be like, you know, butterflies and rainbows and you'll be smelling flowers every now and then, maybe you will, but not every day. And so what we understand here is that as we understand that the enemy is going to twist truths when we are vulnerable, we need to rely on what the Bible says, and we need to be in community. So, here are my 3 points. We as Christians, as I understand my mental state, same color in the fact that we all have some kind of suffering here that we're facing. We kind of have some sort of ugly-ish that we're going through. So we have same color in that, but different texture in suffering. We are called as Christians to suffer now here on earth because the prince of this world is Satan, so that we can experience heaven later. But some of us here today wants to experience heaven now so they can experience hell later. 2 Corinthians 4:7-12 says this. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So the death is at work in us, but life in you. Jesus reminds his disciples in John 16:33 that I have said all these things to you, that have peace in me, not in circumstances, not in any type of accomplishments, but in Jesus. Because why? He has overcome the world and we find victory in him. So I have this example. Shout out to Ashton for setting this up. They walked in here like, why are you bubbly? I'm like, dude, I promise it has purpose. And so I have a here that represents you. The Bible says that when you are a believer, if you believe that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of life, that the Holy Spirit has sealed his promise, seal, in you. But some of us, oh, I hope this doesn't, okay. Nice, thank you, Lord. Some of us do not rely on the Holy Spirit, and they start putting things like work, relationships, accomplishments, relationship.
I
that they're empty inside. Paul here, I want to give you a little context because it's the same color but different texture. Paul is being persecuted for his faith here. He's saying that even though I'm being persecuted, can you go back to slide? That as I am afflicted, in every way I'm not crushed. I might be perplexed because I'm sharing my faith, but I'm still not driven to despair. I'm persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The here is that the texture of what Paul is talking about is different than us, but I believe that the color is the same. If you believe that you're in control of your life, when the world comes and you're afflicted, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted and struck down, and the world, aka me, comes down at you, you'll crush. But if the Holy Spirit is inside of you, filled with his promises, filled with his greatness, filled with his attributes, and it is sealed by the promise of the Holy Spirit that you can receive when you accept Jesus into your heart, when you step on it, no matter you are going through any type of affliction, any type of perplexed mindset, or any type of, you know, destruction, you'll be able to stand and not be broken. And so here's the part, though. This is empty. I was drinking this earlier. Some of you guys are still like this. Some of you guys are believers and you're like, yes, but you feel just empty inside. Same color of suffering? Yes. Different texture in suffering as Christians? Yes. Because why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. But if you are crushed and perplexed and the world comes at you and you realize, you know what? I'm going to invite my brothers who are filled with faith. They're going to come around me. They're going to pray for me. That when I'm going through some form of affliction or persecution, that they will mourn with me. And that they will rejoice with me. When we do that, no matter what I do, I got two right here. Wow. I should be like a magician, you know? We're able to withhold no matter how weak you are. That's why when Pastor Taylor was up here saying we encourage you to be in community. This is the reason why, because everybody has a form of community. We're going to get to it, but it's a different texture in Christian life. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit and we have the promises of the Holy Spirit and the work of the gospel is at work today. Amen. So as we continue, we understand this. If we want to be maximized by God, we have to be healthy. We have to be healthy. Now, you can be used by God in the midst of your ugliness and current pain, but if we want to be maximized by God, we have to be healthy. Well, guess what, church? Some of us here today are experiencing a form of texture in our lives that's uncomfortable and hurtful. You don't get to decide what that texture is. That person gets to. Brothers and sisters, are you contributing to the health of your brothers and sisters? For a body of Christ to be united, we need to be grounded in word, be grounded in truth. We are not going to have true unity if there is no sacrifice. Despite your differences, despite your different ideologies, despite your perceptions, true unity requires sacrifice. Listening to the pain of those we're mentioning it to you. And so as Christians, we are the same color, but different texture in establishing culture. Here it is, same color. Everyone needs to be in community. Same color in that we want to be in community, that we're meant to be in community, but different texture in the fact that the culture that we as Christians should have is kingdom culture, not earthly culture. Kingdom-minded versus earthly-minded. I tell this to my youth kids, and I say this, and if you're writing notes, write this down. There is no third option. You're either going to be discipled by the world or you're going to be discipled by Jesus. You're either going to be slave to sin or you're going to be slave to righteousness. You're either going to build your house on the rock or you're going to build your house on sand. There's no third option. We as a church, as a Summit family, we need to understand that the type of culture that we are creating for brothers of the same color, but different texture and ethnicities and appearances and in backgrounds, we have to understand that if we want to pray the prayer that Jesus had told us to pray, that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that as Jesus comes back, that every tribe, tongue, and nation will declare God, holy, 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 Lord Almighty, then the type of community that we need to have here cannot be just homogeneous and single cultured, but it has to be of multi-ethnic. Why do I start working at Crossline, a predominantly white church? I was asked that by our high school pastor, Grant. I was asked that by our senior pastor, J.P. Jones. He said, hey, I know that you grew up in a Korean-American church. Why do you want to work at a predominantly white church? And I said, well, thank you for seeing me differently than you. But when I was 8 years old, that image that I had in the first day of classroom of seeing people of different ethnicities and backgrounds and colors, and for me to understand that there are ways that God moves in Haiti, and the way he moves in Samoa, the way he moves in India, the way he moves in Korea is different. Same color in the fact that it is God, but different texture in the fact that the way they understand and see who God is. That's why I believe that the Bible is inerrant. Because every culture, every tribe is able to read it, and the word and the promise is consistent. It's relatable. It's personable. It is adequately loving, and it is for us. Same color, but different texture. I was in Paris not too long ago. I did not want to share this, but I have to. And this is a story of God's grace and truth. I am a believer for past 12 years, but I am prone to wonder. I do sin. But I also do repent. But in this moment, I was in Paris. I was so excited. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's my first full day in Paris. My friend had a wedding in Romania. So I was like, I'm going to make all these trips down to Romania. And I was there. And while I was walking up this tourist spot up to the cathedral, there are guys playing these cup game where there's a ball and then there are three cups and they're kind of like spinning. And if you know where the ball is, they give you money. And I was like, I don't gamble. Like, I really don't gamble. But I was sitting there. I'm like, yo, that's actually pretty interesting. That's pretty easy. I know. Whew. So I said, you know what? Let me go do that. I know. I heard it. It's a scam, dog. It is. I know. Let me tell you. I went over there. Long story short, I lost $100. I was so mad at myself. Let me tell you why. In an Asian American, in the terms of Korean culture, our parents are really good with truth, but not with grace. My mom, I remember telling me, dude, like, you should put your phone in your pocket when you go to Knott's Berry Farm or you're going to lose it. And I said, okay, I lost it. This was 12, 13 years ago. Still to this day, my mom's like, boy, put that phone in your pocket. And I'm like, hey, I got it. Don't worry. So in my culture, we're so good with truth, but not good with grace. So you know that because I am created and this is my texture, the moment I failed, I realized all the truths going in my head. Oh my gosh, you're a loser. Why'd you do that? You suck. Why are you gambling? You shouldn't even do that in the first place. Why are you caring about money? So all of that is going through my head. I'm up there, guys. I'm literally, there's a service going on at the cathedral. I went down to the prayer spot, and I just prayed because I was like, dude, I just lost $100. Oh, it gets better, y'all. I get down there and I'm saying, you know what? I'm good. It's okay. So I'm eating my gelato, and there's another table with the same exact game happening. And I said, no. They're getting closer to me. I said, no. And then in my mind, I'm like, I can get that $100 back. This is why when the Bible says you're a sheep, you're a sheep. I am a sheep. I lost another $100. Oh, man. I went to the Louvre Museum so mad. And Guys, I don't gamble. This is the only time, that, I mean, I can't say that, but this will be the only time, I promise, maybe. No, it will be, I promise. But all that to say, I was walking to the Louvre and I'm trying to go see the Eiffel Tower and I was so mad at myself. Why? You're so stupid. And so I'm saying all these truths about how hard I should be on myself and how I should learn from this. And I remember, you remember those times when you have a memory that was like really like bad? And so like the moment you think of it, you're like, ooh, yeah. This was it for that. Kid you not. And then I remember sitting and looking at the Eiffel Tower and I'm just praying to God, having the worship song on it. And I'm just like repenting. And I'm also like, God, like, why did I do that? I remember I was closing my eyes and this felt so real to me. I saw my parents put their hands on my shoulder and said, I understand, son, but go, have fun. That was the moment I experienced God's grace for the first time since salvation. So this is what I wrote on my, I write down what I spent. This is what I spent it. And if you go to the next slide, GP, 200 euros, learning God's grace. And so what I'm saying here is this, is that when we live in the culture of kingdom-minded, there has to be an equal amount of grace and truth. This case was a hard, brutal way, and never would I ever have to do that again, was a reminder for me that God's love for me was both equally grace-filled and truth-filled. It was a moment I realized that, wow, in the midst of all the things that I do not deserve, My parents have every right to do whatever because of my sinfulness. God reminded me of my parents' grace. And so I boldly marched to the Eiffel Tower and I had a great time. So happy story here. Kingdom culture is Christ-centered, not problem-centered. God is the one who ought to be the audience of our life. So guys, there are people here that are of different color and of different texture. I applaud you and I encourage you to exercise both grace and truth when you're talking to your brother and sister. This was a silly story that I decided to share, an ugly one, but I thought the point would get across pretty well. Thirdly, being Christian means we're of the same color but different texture in winning. The reminder is that Christ has already won. And there's a quote that is popular that says, we fight from victory and not for victory. Well, the reminder here is that the victory isn't gained by accomplishing our own agenda, our own ideological beliefs, what we think about it, but it's the agenda of God. And it's tough sometimes to be at a winning place in this time. Because what I realize is that more than ever, there's xenophobia happening across America. A couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I had a man approach to me in Lake Forest who threatened to kill my life simply because I was Asian and that if there are any type of immigrants coming that looks like me, that he would end their life. And a fellow sister of mine, Kylie, looked at me in the eyes and said, that is not okay. I come from a culture of harmony and sacrifice. I do not want to be and cause any trouble. But it was through the community that I was with. Same color in the fact that we want victory, but different texture in the fact that my way of responding should not be with violence. It should not be with any type of my selfish agenda, but God's. So I began praying for this man. I wanted to befriend this man. Could no longer see him, though. But what we understand here is that there are type of texture that our Asian brothers are experiencing today that I ask you, my brothers and sisters, to listen. Was at home last weekend, and my dad had a friend who told him, who's also Asian, said that, man, my neighbor's been throwing lots of trash up in front of my house these days. And in Asian context, elders are very important. In our dialect, in Korean dialect, we have specific languages for elders that we do not use unless you're an elder. And we know that they are they just like us, just want harmony. So they're not going to go out there and say stuff. And so I want you guys to understand that the reason why some of our Asian brothers and sisters are frustrated is because we, in our culture, view our elderly people at a very high regard. And so whenever we hear these things, whenever a family member says, man, I don't know if I should go outside these days, I'm kind of scared. I have a little compassion for my black brothers and sisters that have to deal with this daily. Let us be a brother and sister of compassion with empathy, listening to the texture that they're describing, not taking the cloth away from them and say, this is what you should feel. And there always will be physical, spiritual, mental oppression that we will go through in life. But God speaks with different texture, but of the same promise and the words to different ethnic groups, as I mentioned, and different ethnic communities have other cultural aspects of the kingdom that is more heightened than the other. So how much more powerful would it be if we heard a redemptive message of harmony and sacrifice from our Asian brothers and sisters? How much more powerful would it be to hear a redemptive message of forgiveness and reconciliation from our black brothers and sisters? How much more powerful would it be if we heard a redemptive message of community and value of family from our Hispanic brothers and sisters? How much more powerful would it be for us to hear a redemptive story of persecution and sacrifice of faith and family from our Middle Eastern brothers and sisters? How much more powerful would it be to hear a message of redemptive message of individualism, freedom, and security from our white brothers and sisters? This is the point that I'm making here. Every single person with different texture has a different aspects of kingdom culture that we're carrying. And their story is unique. And it's relatable to the gospel. And it's part of the kingdom. So winning, same color, different texture in this case, it's for us to fully live out the promises and the callings and the purpose that God has for individual part of us in our lives today. And so we all got our story to contribute to the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18 says this. So my Christian brothers and sisters, we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so, as believers, we have to understand that this is the promise that it gives to us, that we do not lose hope in the midst of suffering, in the midst of cultural oppression, in the midst of some form of victory that this world is putting out there. We have to understand that though, yes, of the same color, but we ought, as Christians, ought to respond with different texture, godly texture. Tonight, God is inviting you home. Some of you, he's inviting you to come back. He's inviting you to partake in the kingdom of God because your story matters. It matters to God. And the cloth that you're holding matters. It matters to God. And it matters to Crossline. It matters to our family. And this is only possible if we acknowledge that Jesus is the answer. And that promise can be given to you if you accept Jesus into your heart. And that can happen tonight. So if you're sitting there and you have not given your life off to Jesus, do it. Invite him into your life. Because you're going to go through the colors that this world offers. But the texture that God offers is for his people. And you're invited to be part of his kingdom. You're invited to be part of the family. And so if you are out there and you're like, yo, this dude is talking about me, I am talking about you. Come home. Tell us your story. And just like how you guys have been gracious to listen to what I had to say, we want to listen to yours. But not just your story, but the story that God has redeemed. So that we can understand, that we can celebrate in victory. That if a random person who's not a Christian walks in going, why are these like people who've mentioned like pains and stuff so happy? Different texture. Because we celebrate in the midst of the suffering that we're going through now, because our home is not here. It's not on the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. And so as we close in prayer, let us live out a different cloth of faith, a different cloth of hope, and a different cloth of love, a different cloth of community, and a different cloth of purpose than what this world says. Let me pray for us. Let's pray. God, thank you that you use imperfect people like me to preach the perfect message about a perfect God. My story is not yet finished, but God, you have been working and moving in my life. I thank you. And I know that you're eager to work and move in the lives of my brothers and sisters who are sitting here tonight. And God, I pray that you will speak to them. That they will hear your voice. That they will see your powerful work. And that they will experience, as we worship, your powerful and gracious and truthful love. God, I pray that may our lives be honored. May you be glorified in all that we do. And I pray this in your name. Amen. If you wanted to accept Jesus into your heart, come after service. Talk to me and Pastor Taylor. We would love to help you what it means to live a Christian life as you set your foundation in Jesus and what he had done. Thank you.
Bro, you warned us that you were going to take us to church. Fair warning. And thank you for sharing your heart. And I'm so glad that God has given us your texture for this church, because we need it. I'm so glad that God made you who you are with your story and your personality and your experiences redeemed in Jesus, because we need it. And I'm glad that God made you Korean American, because the body of Christ needs it. And it's a gift to us. And you're a gift to us. And even sitting, listening, and you talk about that lie that I think a lot of us can really relate to, that you feel sometimes likable but not lovable. And you know this, but God loves you.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot. He's really, really proud of you. And I think about how God chooses to reveal himself to us as our Father.
Amen.
And I think about what becoming a father has made me see about that, about how I love my kids so, so much, and I'm so proud of them. And that's how God chooses to say that he relates to us. And he doesn't just see you as likable. He really, really loves you.
Thanks.
And that's true of all of us too. Bro, thank you for sharing your heart. What we're doing now, as we've been doing with every person in the series, is we're just going to take some time as a community to pray for them and thank God for them. Thank Jesus for the gospel. What he's done in and through us, for us, what he's done for Thomas. And we're just going to pray for Thomas right now. So right now is just in a gesture of solidarity and being unconditionally for each other. Just ask that you extend a hand. We're going to pray for Thomas. Would you guys pray with me? God, we love you. We're so grateful for your grace. We're grateful for everything that you are for us in Jesus. Thank you for everything you've been for Thomas in Jesus, that you've been the solid rock, that though there have been storms, that he's had a unique set of experiences, God, that haven't been my experiences, that haven't been many other people in this room's experiences, and yet we can relate to the need for our house to be built on a rock and not on the sand. And thank you that you've been that rock for him. I pray, God, that you would continue to use him, comfort him in your love. God, I pray that that you would just feel so near to him, that he'd be so aware of your presence, and that you delight in him. God, I pray that we would be a community that delights in having the same color in Jesus, the same Savior and Lord, the same Heavenly Father, but different texture, a big, beautiful, diverse family of Jesus that brings different things to the table and has different sets of experiences. Would we learn from one another? Would we really, really listen? Would we be willing to sacrifice our own agendas and preferences for the way that things ought to be in order to honor each other well? Particularly as we're learning things that maybe we didn't know before, or maybe we've been closed off to before, or maybe we've denied before, but that we'd really learn and hear. We pray for all that. Thank you for Thomas. Would you move in him? Thank you for the blessing that he is to us. It's in Jesus' name we pray.